The quintessential revolution is that of the spirit, born of an intellectual conviction of the need for change in those mental attitudes and values which shape the course of a nation's development. A revolution which aims merely at changing official policies and institutions with a view to improvement in material conditions has little chance of genuine success. Without a revolution of spirit, the forces which had produced the inequities of the old order would continue to be operative, posing a constant threat to the process of reform and regeneration. It is not enough merely to call for freedom and human rights. There has to be a united determination to persevere in the struggle, to make sacrifices in the name of enduring truths, and to resist the corrupting influences of desire, ill will, ignorance, and fear. And that was said by Aung San Suu Kyi. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Now, when looking at the world today, there is little doubt that what is required to change it is an evolution of spirit, a change in the general outlook of humankind. Well, I suppose I should say the inlook as well as the outlook, because that's really what a change of spirit is, isn't it? It's looking within and changing your perspective about how the world should operate and changing your perspective of what your relationship with the world is, what your relationship to reality is, and how you look at the world. Most people, whether they know it or not, actually have a very narrow perspective because they're only really taking into account that which affects them personally. But if you really step back and you look at the world holistically, you begin to see that one of the big problems that we face is, in fact, the narrow view that most people have and that most people adhere to. And this is not to say anything against such people. This is simply the way people have been trained to operate, because they're always kept in a state of scarcity. And so they tend to only pay attention to that which affects them personally, rather than taking a wider view of things, simply because they never really have the time to do so. They're always kept on the treadmill. They're always kept running after paper and looking after their family and making sure that everything's okay in their personal life. And so they just don't have time to look around them and to really look at the bigger picture. And many people want change, but they're unaware how to really bring about that change, because very often they fail to see that that change must come from within. It must start with a change of spirit, the sort of change of spirit that was mentioned by Aung San Suu Kyi in the quote that I used to open the show. And in that quote, you could see that Aung San Suu Kyi recognized that it isn't just about changing the political system and putting in a new party or a new government, because if we don't change our spirit and change the perspective of how we view things, then all we will do is end up constructing a system which has all of the traits of the old system, which made the old system so dysfunctional. So essentially, if we want to bring about any real change, we have to do it from the ground up. And we have to look at things in a completely different way to the manner in which we currently view them. And personally, I think that this is the year that we're going to do this, folks. I think this is going to be a very, very significant year, especially over the next couple of months. I can just feel that there are major things going on in the field. Even here in Australia, we've actually seen the federal government put a moratorium on coal seam gas. One man has basically said water is life and life is more important than resources. And so I believe they've placed a moratorium on all coal seam gas at the moment, which is good in one way. I mean, it means that there won't be any more wells going in, but it also means that those wells that are in and those companies that do have a good foothold now have the monopoly on gas from the country. Personally, I think a moratorium is a good start, but what we need is to see the closure of all of the gas fields that are currently operating. We just don't need this stuff, and we certainly don't need wells to go ahead, because the wells that are now operating will continue to be fracked, because that's what they do, folks. Very often a well will be fracked up to 5 times. And so this is still a major, major problem, and we need to see the closure of the wells, not just a ban on any new wells being operated. I'd say that most of the major wells have already been put in and there is a great deal of gas already being shipped overseas. And bear that in mind, folks, if you are an Australian, the gas that is being harvested from coal seam gas mining is being shipped overseas, all of it. So there is no benefit for any local community in supporting coal seam gas in your area. Just thought I'd throw that in there. That's the way they did it in this country, you see, folks. They went to areas and they promised the area that it was going to be a huge boon and they were going to get a new power station for the area and the price of electricity was going to drop and it was going to be a huge boon for the community to have one of these gas fields nearby. But then once they've got a foothold into the land, they gradually roll back all of the promises they made, and eventually what you find is that all the gas is being loaded into pipelines, and it's all been shipped out overseas to China and places like that. So they've lied on every single count, folks, and I imagine that they are doing this in other countries as well. So yeah, that's just something to bear in mind, but I've got a little bit off topic with that one. But the point I was trying to make was that we are seeing a change of perspective, even within some politicians. I mean, just the fact that a politician stood up and said this, hey, water is life, life is more important than resources, it needs to be stopped now, and he actually got it through Parliament. Well, that does show that there are some people within the political system that actually still have a spark of sanity somewhere buried in their minds. So it's good to see that happening. And hopefully we'll see more of this sort of stuff going on. But the thing is, it's becoming so apparent now, folks. People even within the political system who may have started and got into politics for their own self-centered and self-motivated reasons are perhaps beginning to wake up a little bit and see that they are just people. And that's really the thing, folks. I mean, people who join politics do so for one of two reasons. One is that they are simply sociopaths and want to control people and believe politics is a well-paying job and a way to put yourself above the system, and they join for solely self-motivated reasons. But there are other people who probably join politics because they want to make positive change, and they get in there and they see what they're swimming in and it just never really works out for them. They may get elected to office at some stage, but keeping that office can be very hard, and they find that they can never really get to a position of real power. Even though they may be good people, and they may have good ideas, and they may be what the people need, they'll never really get to a position where they're able to make positive change. But nevertheless, some people, I'm sure, did enter into politics with the best of intentions. It's just that those who are more likely to succeed in politics tend to be those with sociopathic tendencies. And I say many of the other politicians who never quite get to positions of real power are beginning to realise this now, and they're beginning to see just how out of control the ship of state currently is. Because we're heading for the rocks, folks, and I would say that even some of the politicians are now beginning to notice that there doesn't appear to be anybody at the rudder. And look, I think it's important to really consider that statement as well, folks. The concept that there is not really anybody at the rudder. Because after spending years and years investigating this global situation, after going down rabbit hole after rabbit hole, after pointing my finger at various cabals and various ruling elites and the Illuminati and all sorts of stuff, what I find is that, yes, there is a cabal, and it's basically a banking cabal. It's a banking cabal sort of combined with a monarchy that really has the control on this planet. And the way they do it is through marginalization and corporatism. You know, even the story of the economic hitman, this is the way they take over and control the planet. They use the monetary system to keep people in a state of scarcity. And ultimately, folks, what you see when you look at it, if you want to get right back down to a basic level, you see that the money system is designed to keep people in a state of scarcity and keep them on the treadmill so that they never really notice what's going on around them. And the function of the monarchy and government system is to harvest all the resources of the earth and to control and genetically tinker with mankind, because we are most certainly being tinkered with on a genetic level. I mean, you've only got to look around at all the GM food and the electromagnetic radiation and everything that we're subject to see the reality of this, folks. And there's so much stuff going on. I mean, really, when you look at it, the chemtrails, the GM food, the whole lot, it's so disorganized and dysfunctional. And really what you see is that it's one big experiment. I mean, think about it. Even with transhumanism and GM food and genetic modification and all of the stuff that they're doing to the environment, you've got to understand that they don't really know what's going to happen because everybody's genetics is slightly different. So you never really know what you're going to get when you start putting these things out into the environment. And what you begin to see is that what we really have here is a haphazard experiment. It's almost like consciousness gone mad. And it's this haphazard attempt to turn the life that exists on this planet into another form of life, or to create some type of new life out of this life. But it's very, very haphazard. And I believe that by giving too much credit to those who are actually in charge of this whole mess, we actually make them more powerful. Because I think it's very haphazard. I think that there are so many compartmentalized systems who really don't know what the other hands are doing, and they're just following orders from above, and the people from above don't really know what's going on either. And everybody's lost in their ego and in their own little boxed view of reality. You know, we've got a military man who only thinks in that little box. We've got a social engineer who only thinks in that box. We've got a politician who only thinks in that box. We've got people who operate genetically modified food companies who only think in their own box. We've got scientists in all different fields of science who all only think in their own box. I mean, all you've got to do is look at the difference between a dentist and a doctor and someone like a naturopath, who all view the world in completely different ways. A naturopath views the body naturally and holistically. A doctor views the body from a perspective of science and chemicals. And a dentist views the body as a set of teeth with organs hanging off the bottom. So you've got completely different views of reality all the way down the line. And that's just three occupations who all deal with basically the same thing to a certain degree. It's the human body, or parts thereof. So even looking at that, you can begin to see how different the perspectives are. And when you think about all the fields that we've got out on this planet, all of the systems of control, the police system, the military, the weapons manufacture, genetic modification, the Food and Drug Administration, all of these things, I mean, the list goes on, political systems, religious systems, electromagnetic systems, the alphabet agencies, a myriad of different aspects of the scientific community. These are all very, very compartmentalized, and none of them really know what the other are doing, and each one is given a set of parameters from somewhere that delivers an agenda to them, and they are mandated to follow that agenda. So where does it all come from? Where does it all lead? Because when you really step back and look at it, it's complete chaos. Even the whole concept of the transhuman agenda that I espoused in my recent film Transformation, where I talked about how the chemtrails and the GM food and the smart meters, and you put all this together, and what you have is an electromagnetic control grid and a merging of man with machine. But really, when you step back further and look at it even more, what you find is it's being done in a very, very haphazard manner. It's just coming out of different areas of human consciousness that all seem to have their own agenda. And many of their agendas don't really mesh very well with the agendas of others. And though there is some sort of ultimate goal to enslave and control and to change life on this planet, it seems to be being done in a very, very haphazard manner. And I believe that one of the main tools that's being used to accomplish it is people's belief that it's being perpetrated by an all-powerful ruling hand at the top, and through the fear and division that is experienced by humankind. Even in the research community here, folks, the alternative research community, there's so much division. There's so much hatred. There's so much animosity, there's so much ego. There's so many people who are so willing to speak out about people who do not behave the way they perceive they should behave. And there are so many people who are locked within the boxes of thought that they've constructed for themselves and who are so, so caught up in spells and word magic. It's absolutely amazing to see. But I think really it's all coming to the fore at this stage, folks. I think that's what's happening. I think that's the period that we're in. It's a period of the apocalypse, a period of great revealing. And there will be things that are revealed, and people will show themselves for what they are simply by their refusal to allow any change to ever take place. Because I honestly don't think we are going to be able to stop the change that is taking place. I think consciousness is waking up. I really do. I believe that we are all connected to everything. But ultimately, the thing that we are connected to the most is this beautiful earth that we live on. And I think the earth itself is waking up. There is a process happening here. The energies are just different now. It's different to what it was last year. And people are beginning to feel that there is change in the air. It's coming. It's there. I can feel it. All we have to do is keep positive and keep fighting the good fight and keep exposing the tyranny and the corruption and the criminality of this world the way we do. But maintain a focus on the solutions. And when you present a problem to someone, at least offer a suggestion as to what the solution may be, or at least offer a pathway to meaningful dialogue to discuss a solution if you don't have one. Personally, I believe the solution is in global unity. I believe the solution is in mutual respect for others. And by global unity, folks, no, I'm not saying New World Order. What I'm saying is that you just respect each other. You realize that the way to live your life is in Lakesh. That is really the way to do it. I mean, the amount of people I've had attacking me lately as well, folks, people have been sending me hate mail because I haven't reacted in the way that they perceive I should have reacted. They've accused me of claiming to be things that I've never claimed to be. And it's interesting, folks, because I don't even usually get depressed, but it can be quite depressing when you get such a barrage of hate mail from people for no apparent reason. I mean, the amount of hate mail I've received for daring to have the people from the OPPT on the show and for not taking one particular side in the matter is phenomenal. And it's very interesting to see how people are actually revealing themselves. And we're going to see a lot of trials and tribulations like this, folks. But it's important through it all to maintain respect for each other. And I know we all have lapses of that, folks. Sometimes I just want to swear at people, and sometimes I do. Because these are very, very testing times with the energies changing so rapidly the way they are. And you're going to find these difficult times and these challenges coming more and more to the fore as these changes become more apparent. But keep supporting each other during the process, and we're going to find ways through it. All the pieces of the puzzle seem to be coming together at the moment, and there are going to be so many people that are resistant to this change. You're going to see so many people, even within the alternate research community, who are so invested in the fight that they're not going to want anything to change. Many people who talk about creating a fantastic new world where everybody is free and we all live in a state of abundance are going to resist the change to that freedom and abundance with tooth and nail, folks. And we're seeing this in the alternate research community now. And one thing I think is important to understand through all of this change, folks, is that there is not one person or one group of people that has all of the answers. And you really do need to be leading yourself through this period. You need to remove that from around you, which is clutter, stuff that you don't need. Get rid of the unnecessary trappings of your life. Things that don't serve you have to go by the wayside so that all you have around you is that which serves you, that which works for you, that which you need to function in your life, that which you love, that which you appreciate. Not all the unnecessary and useless baggage or the stuff that we thought was ourselves. What we need to do through this period, folks, is find ourselves. And in all honesty, I think we are being pushed to do so by our collective consciousness and by the consciousness of this earth that we are connected to. But as the collective memory comes more and more online, you're going to see a huge resistance to this from people who have a vested interest in maintaining the fight. You're going to find a lot of people through this period attacking others and attacking anybody who doesn't support their particular system. You'll find a lot of people seeing anybody else's perspective as an attack against them, and their ego will kick in and they'll wish to fight back and they'll hang on to their beliefs with tooth and nail. But what you're really going to find is that there are aspects of all of these systems which are good and which need to be all merged together. And you're going to see that, you know, with the knowledge that we've got, because we have an incredible amount of knowledge as a species, folks, especially in the alternate research community. I mean, if I may say so myself, the people in the alternate research community, many of these people have gone down particular rabbit holes and they become very, very knowledgeable in their own fields. But unfortunately, through that process, many of them have also become very egotistical about the knowledge that they hold. And so they are not prepared to look outside of their field and to respect anybody else's research or anybody else's perspective. But we need to merge all of this together, and we need to merge this knowledge that we have gathered as a single consciousness. We need to merge it all into a completely open forum and an open way of communicating it to each other. Everybody needs to have the knowledge that everybody else has. And we need to merge this knowledge with the knowledge of our ancestors and the knowledge of the past. The knowledge of all reality, it all needs to come together, and everybody needs to view everybody else's perspective as valid. And together we can find out what the ultimate truth is. Because once we find the ultimate truth, which is the ultimate truth of ourselves, then we're able to move forward as a species in harmony with itself. And there is so much knowledge there for us, folks. The knowledge of everything we need to know, it's all in the field. The knowledge of all science, the knowledge of our true connection to reality, the knowledge of this earth. And, you know, we may call it knowledge, folks, but really what it is memories, because that's what's happening here. This gaining of knowledge and this awakening of human consciousness that we're seeing is actually people remembering what it was like. And that's what this knowledge is. The knowledge and memory of what things once were, and the knowledge and memory of what things could be. The knowledge and memory of life living in a Vedic culture and a Vedic society. The knowledge and memory of what it would be like to live in a world that wasn't governed by word magic and spells. And there are so many people still running spells. There are so many people in the alternate research community and in mainstream community who are running spells. In fact, the whole world is running spells, folks. That's because everybody thinks in language. I mean, I've spoken about that so many times, the way people are trained to think in language. And there are so many people running spells, and mostly they're running Roman spells. That's what I see throughout the mainstream, and that's what I see very often throughout the research community. But change is coming. People are waking up to this spellbound reality that we live in, and they're beginning to see that there is another way. And that way is for us to discover ourselves. There's all sorts of stuff that's been happening to expose the system, and there are all sorts of movements that are gaining groundswell and notoriety. And folks, hey, I'll support anything that rocks the boat. Anything that brings this corrupt corporate system to the attention of more people is a good thing to me. But remember through all of it that the solutions to all of the problems that we face ultimately lie within your own heart. They lie within how you approach reality around you, how you interact with the people around you. Don't go pointing the finger at others and believing that everybody is a threat to you, because really it's the predator mind that is the threat. It is that which has superimposed itself over human consciousness and has placed us into this state of division, this state of competition, this state where our way is the only way. And we all believe ourselves to be the center of the universe. And ultimately, I mean, in many ways we are. We are all the center of our own universe. But what we need to understand is that all of these universes overlap. And we can create one wonderful universe by combining all of our perspectives together. And the only way we're going to do that is through respect. And that's what it's all about, folks. Something that I've found to be very apparent, though, within the alternate research community is that there are very, very many people who are willing to speak out against the system and to point the finger, and the act of complaining becomes their lives. But no matter how much they try to change things, they don't get the results that they want, and they don't get the attention that they desire from other people. And so what they do is they attack other people within the alternate research community, because by attacking them, they feel like they've done something, when all they've really done is exercise their own ego and perpetuated the division that keeps the world in its current state of disrepair. It's often a lot easier to get results when you attack someone in the alternate research community. You can get into an argument with them on a thread, and then you can use their name to get yourself more views on YouTube. And this is the way a lot of people seem to carry on. And it's very, very distressing, really, to see human consciousness reduced to the level that it would do that sort of stuff. I mean, I get caught into it as well, folks. I mean, people start attacking me, and sometimes I'll go onto the thread and I'll make a few comments. You know, I usually quickly realize it's just an energy harvest, and I soon turn away. But it's been very interesting to see how much people maintain the attack if they believe they're getting the attention that they desire through attacking other people. It's because they get results, you see. They get results from other people. When they attack someone, they get people who comment and support them, or they get the person they are attacking get into an argument with them, and this gives them the energy that they need, because that's what they're attempting to do. It's all about energy harvesting, folks. That's why people attack other people in the first place. It's because they're disconnected from source and they need to harvest energy. That's why I believe the best way to deal with the problem is to really look at things holistically and to understand that we can change the whole thing by simply looking inside of us and changing our perspective and changing the way we interact with the world around us. And I know it's difficult, but try not to be drawn into arguments with people and energy exchanges with people, because ultimately that's what most of these things are. If it's not a rational debate where the two adversaries are respecting each other's opinion and it's been reduced to an ad hominem attack and condescending remarks of personal belittlement against each other, then it's an energy harvest and you should leave the conversation. But the point I'm making here, folks, is that there certainly has been a lot of these type of energetic exchanges on the internet lately, and this is also a very good indication of this sifting process that consciousness is going through and how people are exposing themselves and exposing their own agendas by their willingness to resist any change and to attack anybody who doesn't agree with their own ideas. We all knew this would be a time of revealing, and it's honestly been quite fascinating to sit back and watch the show. But I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I will speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, when you look at the systems of control that have been put in place, and there really are a myriad of systems, folks, one of the ones that has always fascinated me so much is the energetic systems of control that have been put in place. And these are some of the most fascinating to me because they're probably some of the most difficult to really understand. And yet they are all around us. It's like when Morpheus was talking to Neo in the Matrix and he said the Matrix is everywhere. It's there when you put in your taxes. It's there when you go to work. Because the energetic systems of control that have been put in place are all around us in many forms, but one of the forms that they take that goes unnoticed by most people is the systems of geometry that we are all involved in. People have often said that sacred geometry is the basis of reality. I really see sacred geometry as the mathematical formula that has been used to construct the prison that most people perceive to be reality. And sacred geometry goes a lot further than pretty shapes and tetrahedrons and the things that you see people produce in sacred geometry workshops. Because really, that is the basic form of matter and the basic structure of matter, but all geometry is sacred in its own way because all geometry is used to shape perception and to shape the mind and to mold reality. I've actually developed a theory while I was traveling as to how the schism was placed into human consciousness, what happened, what the event was that disconnected us from who we were before the schism took place. I'm still tweaking the finer details of it, but I intend to make a presentation about it at some stage. And I firmly believe that this schism was created in human consciousness via a method of mind control and geometry, and via the use of an energetic device that was actually created on geometric principles. But that's something that I'll get into once I've formulated a little bit more of a thesis on it. But really what I see when I look around me at our society, and I look around me at the structure of the world today, what I see is that one of the things that holds us into this reality and locks us into this control grid more than anything is the geometry of our civilization. You see, certain geometries create certain energetic fields, and I believe that there are energetic fields that have been created around us, which perpetuate the illusion that we perceive to be reality. You see, when you create a certain geometric shape, it creates a certain energetic field in relation to the shape, and this field can affect things around it and things within it. I mean, you've just got to look at the miracle of the pyramid structure. Many people have demonstrated on numerous occasions that you can create pyramid structures and they will sharpen knives, they will keep fruit fresh, they have a particular and very noticeable effect on things that they interact with. So if it is so for pyramids, then why should it not be so for other geometric shapes as well? And if so, then how would these shapes affect us? But I believe these shapes do affect us, and I believe that that's one of the reasons our civilization has been built to the geometric specifications to which it has. Because when you think about it, geometry itself is very unnatural to creation. It's very unnatural for the human mind to have come up with something like geometry. And yet geometry, we're taught, is the basis of everything. When you go to school, you're even taught that basic shapes are geometric shapes. Basic shapes at school are a square, a triangle, a rectangle, a circle. But these are not basic shapes, folks. These are man-made constructs. Basic shapes are spirals and waves. Fibonacci sequence, phi ratio, the golden mean. These are basic shapes. But we're taught, no, it's squares, triangles, circles, all the things that are man-made constructs. And so you can see how perception is altered at that very early stage of life, where we are first trained to look away from nature and to look away from the basic realities of the world around us, and to concentrate only on man-made geometry. And this instills within us, right from that very early time, the concept that the basic understanding of reality itself should be structured, geometric, and mechanical. And one might question why such is the case, and why such understandings have ever been imposed upon human consciousness, and where such understandings actually came from. And folks, this is something that perplexed me ever since I was a child. Where did we come up with all of this stuff? Why, if we were living in perfect harmony with nature and living as hunters and gatherers and laughing and playing and living in our natural state of abundance, which we once obviously were, why would we ever come up with something like civilization? It just really didn't make a lot of sense to me. And also the concept of structured geometry doesn't really make a lot of sense to me either. I often used to wonder why we have this mechanical consciousness which seems to have superimposed itself over our natural state. Because we all do. We all have this incredible love for machines and mechanics. And you'll find that even many women have a love for things that are small, mechanical, little boxes, little lockets, little chains, earrings, little bits of metal that people hang off their body. I've often wondered what the attraction for this mechanical stuff is, where it came from, and why this would be part of human consciousness. And this became even more pronounced for me after I did the ceremonies I did last year in Peru, because of the connection that I got to reality during ceremony, the connection that I got to nature and to the earth and to all reality around me. And I began to clearly see that this was a reflection of a natural state that I should be in all the time and that all people should be in. And so one really has to question how we became so disconnected and what it was that superimposed this mechanical mindset over our consciousness and gave us the love for the things that we love and caused human consciousness and human science and human society to pursue the goals that it is currently pursuing. The need to make more efficient machines, the need to search for artificial intelligence, and the need to merge humankind with machine. Because that's what we're doing, folks. We're merging ourselves with machine, and we seem to be pursuing incredibly opposite goals. On one hand, we want to maintain our health, and we want to be all that we can be biologically. Although very often with people these days, it isn't just biologically, it's physically, because it's all about your physical appearance and not really about who you actually are. So that's what we do on one hand. But on the other hand, we seem to be obsessed with the creation of artificial life. We want to be able to take chemicals and rocks and minerals from the ground and combine them in a laboratory and come up with something that is alive and that has a soul and that can be like us, a child of man, so to speak. It's like we wish to turn ourselves into God. We want to be able to create life. But the thing is, we can already create life through procreation. And yet, procreation has been vilified as something dirty. And there's been a huge wedge driven between the genders. And sex is viewed as something taboo. And yet all sex is, really, is a natural form of expression. And it is the creation of life. So, why would we be so obsessed in creating artificial life and so neglectful of the life we can already create? It really is a very bizarre thing when you look at it. And the question is, how do we get into that mindset? How do we go down this path to begin with? Why would we even think of doing things such as we do? Because really, folks, when I look around me at civilization, I see something that is incredibly detrimental to humankind, incredibly detrimental to the planet. I can't see how civilization serves us or serves the planet or serves life in any way, shape, or form. It seems to be something completely alien to natural human consciousness. And I have to wonder who it was who first picked up a rock from the ground and decided to turn it into metals and how they even knew what metals were. And why they would even feel that they needed metals. Because if we were living in a situation where we were living in harmony with nature and our life would consist of basically eating, resting, and playing, then why would we come up with something like civilization? Why would we ever deviate from that path and decide that we needed something like a city? And there may be some people who listen to this and go, well, look, it's just a natural progression. That's what we do. That's the way our minds work. But the question I'm asking is why? Because it just doesn't seem natural to me. I mean, it may be the way our minds work now, but through my experiences in life, I don't believe that it's the way our minds should work. And as I've mentioned on a few shows previously, I think a lot of what the problem is here is the predator mind, the mind that has superimposed itself over the human experience. And really, when I look at the human experience, folks, I can see that this has happened, most especially in Western culture. Well, really in any culture that's been civilized. See, it's the civilization of the culture which disconnects them. And it's the geometry of the civilization which helps them stay disconnected. The flat surfaces, the square walls, the right angles, the symmetry in everything that we build. Nature is not symmetrical. And everything about our civilization and societies is designed to disconnect us from nature. The only time we really have anything to do with nature is when we want to manipulate it into some pretty picture that we use to stimulate our own aesthetics and our own environment. Generally speaking, we seem to have, over the years, developed a very, very obtuse view of nature. We see it as something that's disconnected from ourselves, but really we are part of nature. But we don't view it that way. We view it as something we can manipulate, something we can look at, something that we can use as a resource. And I don't know about you folks, but I think that's a very bizarre way of looking at things. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Because everything that is us is the earth. We come from the earth. We literally do come from the earth. The earth is our home. It is our life. It is all that we know. We'd be in a pretty bad state without it. We'd kind of be floating in space, folks, and I don't think that would work out very well for us. And yet we are so neglectful of this earth, and we seem to just simply take the planet for granted. We think it's just something that's there for us to use. It's big. We can do what we want to it, and it will never be damaged. It will always replenish itself, and it's simply there for us. It isn't the planet that's important. It's us. But really, I think that's a very boxed way of looking at things, because I think that we and this earth are absolutely connected to each other, and we shouldn't take it for granted at all. It isn't just a planet, it's our home. And it's alive, and our mind is connected to the mind of the earth and connected to the mind of the universe as a whole. Well, it's supposed to be anyway, but it's been disconnected. And the main tools that have been used to accomplish this have been energetic spells, really. I mean, word magic and geometry. You think about geometry, folks. Why do the Freemasons go and use Euclid's 32nd supposition in everything they build? Why do they insist on doing cornerstones in certain places and creating the grids that they do across the planet? And do they even know what they're doing? Where did these ideas come from? Who gave them the directives to do these things? Who put the agenda in place to begin with? Because it's a very, very sophisticated agenda. I don't even think the Freemasons know what they're doing. But I think it's the geometry around ourselves and the word magic and spells that people are locked into. And word magic and spells, it's due to the way you think. It's due to always thinking in language and having certain words removed from the language and certain new words created within the language which spell a false reality to the people. You see, words are spells, folks. That's why you spell them, because they are spells. And if you are trained to think always in language, then you will only ever have the understanding of reality that your knowledge of the language allows you to have. And what you believe is possible will be based on this belief system and based on this understanding, based on the parameters you're given by science. And the thing is that not only are you given boxed parameters by science, but you are kept constrained by your understanding of reality because it is constrained by the language that you use. You see, when you're thinking in language, it cancels out intuition. It cancels out the language of the heart. It cancels out higher senses that you should have access to. Because when you're always thinking in language, then you're always locked in mind. You're always thinking with your mind. You're always perceiving reality with your mind. And if your mind doesn't have enough information to truly understand reality, then how can you ever truly understand reality? That's the way it works, folks. And again, with the geometry, these things set up certain electromagnetic fields, folks. This is why the Freemasons put things around the place the way they do. This is why the pinnacles are in certain places. This is why streets and roads are shaped the way they do. You see, it's the geometry in the cities themselves that create an energy field which also affects us. You know, we've got so many higher senses, and because we do, there are so many methods that can be employed to lock people down. There's all of this symbolism and electromagnetic stuff going on around them, and then there's also what's been done to our diets as well, and what's been done to the food, because this has really affected the biology of most people. It's really shut down people's memory circuits, their deeper memory circuits. It's created fungal growths in most people and candidas. And these fungal growths within the human body disconnect you from the energy field around you. They lock down your higher senses as well. So there's been so many things that have been done to us to make sure we are not connected to reality. And I think we need to pay attention to it all. And look, I suppose I've probably been a little bit all over the place with this show today. I didn't really come in with anything planned to talk about. But I'm just trying to offer suggestions of things to look at and things to notice about your environment, things to notice about the world that we live in. Because once you start noticing all of these things, and you start realizing that they are all very alien to human life, they are all very alien to what we should be doing and what we should be thinking, then you have to start wondering where they came from. And civilization itself is the big giveaway. When you look at all the flat surfaces and the symmetry and the disconnect from nature, you've got to wonder why we would ever come up with something like civilization. And really, as I see it, its main purpose is to not only disconnect us from nature, but also to disconnect us from ourselves and from the people around us. That's something I've noticed very much with civilization, folks, is that the more people you pack into a small space, the more difficult it is for them to connect with each other and get to know each other. People need to have their own space. They need to know their neighbors are not encroaching on their own personal area. When we live in situations like that, we find that we know our neighbors very well and we get along with our neighbors. You'll find that people in the country know all the people who live in the surrounding areas. And yet if you get people who live in an apartment building, you're lucky if they know the people next door or the people down the hall, because they're all packed into this tight area. They don't have any of their private space. They don't have any area where they can be themselves. And so it becomes very difficult for them to want to connect with the people around them because they're kept in such close proximity all the time. It's always fascinated me, folks, how the tighter people are packed, the more disconnected from each other they become. Mankind really is an endless source of fascination for me. But look, getting back on topic a little bit, folks, as I was saying at the start of the show, and as I've said on shows recently, I think this year is going to be a year of significant change. And I think that it's time for people to really pay attention to their surroundings and to pay attention to their own lives. And like I've been saying lately, if you've got clutter around you, ask yourself if you really need it. I mean, clutter isn't important. Stuff isn't important. What's important is your health, your relationship to those around you, and your relationship to reality, your relationship to life, your relationship to the earth. Because that's quality of life, folks. Quality of life really is your health and your relationship to the reality in which you live. And I think we are going to see some significant changes, and you've got to pay attention and you've got to be on board for those changes. I think now more than ever, people really have to start looking at their health. I think it's important for people to be aware of what they're consuming, what they're putting into their bodies. And as I was saying earlier in the show, I think it's time that we put down our animosities and realize that we have an incredibly intelligent global consciousness here, and there are so many people who have a piece of the puzzle. And if everybody can just put their egos aside and allow things to all come together onto the same table, I'm pretty sure we can find a very, very simple solution to the problems that we face. But we have to be prepared to do that. We've got to be prepared to respect the views of others and to all sit down together and work out a plan for a viable future. Because we can't allow things to go on the way they are. We can't allow our politicians to continue raping the planet and stealing the resources from us the way they are. And we have to understand that the change that we want, the shift that we want to happen, can happen if we choose to participate. And the only participation that's going to work has to be based on an attitude of mutual respect. If we don't have that, then we don't have anything, and we'll never go forward at all. Mutual respect is what's required. It's important to remember that there are no leaders in this battle that we're fighting, that it has to be a personal thing. There is no one way that is right. There is no one savior coming to save the world. It's a collective thing. And the sooner we realize that, the better. I mean, really, people have to stop the infighting and seeing that their own way is the only way. But again, and as I said earlier, folks, we'll find that people are actually revealing themselves, and consciousness is revealing itself through this method as well, because there are many people who do have a vested interest in the fight. That's what their whole life is. It's about the fight. It's not about the change, it's not about winning, it's about the fight. Many people have constructed their own little methods of doing things, many people building alternate communities, which is simply denial of reality, as I've often said, folks, we don't need to build alternate communities. We need to fix the one that we've got. If you build an alternate community, you're simply turning your back on the world, and it's just going to go to hell around you and drag you down a little bit later. So we have to pay attention to what's going on, pay attention to ourselves, pay attention to each other, and start basing our lives in mutual respect. You know, mutual respect, folks, if we did that, that would be non-compliance to the system, because the system is designed to always support the economic model, not to support the people and not to respect the people. But you imagine if every company, every business, every transaction on this planet was based on mutual respect rather than profit, the whole world would change in 3 seconds. And it really would be that simple to do. But now is the time, folks. This is the year when we are being given an opportunity to lead ourselves. And it's time for all the people out there listening to this show to do that. Don't follow me. Don't follow anyone. Don't follow anyone who claims to be a leader. Be very, very wary of leaders, folks, because the only one you should be following is yourself, your intuition. That's what you're here to do, is to discover yourself. And that's what this time in history is providing people with, the opportunity to do that. And I think it's an incredible time to be alive. I think it is the most significant time in all of history, because never before in history have the workings of the machine been laid so bare, and never before has humankind been given such a wonderful opportunity on a silver platter, as it were, to discover themselves and to shift the paradigm. It's really a gift, folks. It's a gift from reality itself. It's a gift from consciousness. And I think we all owe it to ourselves, and we owe it to our species, and we owe it to our children to participate. Because that's all it would take, folks, simple participation in reality. But it has to be done from the right perspective. And of course, folks, that's all I've ever offered you on these shows, is my perspective as well. I don't ask you to believe anything I say. I don't wish to lead you down any corridors or any paths. I have no agenda in what I do. My only goal is to help awaken consciousness and to create a better future. And all I can do is offer my appreciation to those who listen, and rest assured that those who do listen understand what my intention is with these shows. And admittedly, folks, I probably don't always get everything right, but all I can offer is my perspective and hope that it helps, because I really do believe that it is only going to be through participation that we change the world. And so that's what I'm doing. But I think we've reached the end of this show here, folks, and so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I will have a little bit more news on the Full Circle project within the next month, and I'll be able to let you know where that is going and how that's going. It's been very difficult trying to put it all together with moving and all the things that I've been doing, but that is something that's definitely on the boil for this year. The trip to Peru is still on for those who are interested in it. I just haven't organized anything yet. And I feel that it is going to be a very eventful year. But that is it for me, folks. Thank you to anybody who has ever made a contribution to the website. It's very, very much appreciated. And I cannot thank you enough for the support you've shown me over the years. And I like to say that just because I don't get time to answer the emails that I get, and I don't get time to answer the many messages that I get, sometimes I get attacked by people for not answering their messages. But, folks, I really do receive sometimes up to 600 emails a day, and it can get very, very difficult to answer them. I do read them. I do read everything that comes, but if I don't click answer right then and there and reply as soon as I see it, which can be very time-consuming, then often they can get buried in the pile and I forget to answer them. So please accept my apologies for that, but thank you very much for the support that you've shown me. But I'll have to leave it here for now, folks. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. Thank you for spending this time with me today. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.